there are secrets that we have stored in a closet. Mm. But when that door gets knocked on, then we bust out. So let's talk about this conversation that we need to have in these relationships. Yo, yo, what is going on?
What's up?
We are back in the building,
yes,
y'all.
We are.
We got so many hits up last night for last week, for missing last week. But yeah. Lady Free was not feeling good. And we still should have went on. But listen, we here. We back in the building
back
today.
The building.
We back in the building. Listen, boy, I'm your boy, Pastor Jay.
Yo, and I'm your girl, Lady Free.
And I'm your girl, Zadie. Yo.
Come here.
Uh-oh. That was anointed.
Beautiful.
That was anointed.
Back in the building, everybody.
That was anointed. And that, yes, hallelujah. We praise him in Jesus'
right?
name.
He funny.
But we are back in the building, y'all. Listen, y'all, listen. Please, man, y'all join the nation, man. Shift Real Talk Nation.
Yeah.
Y'all join the nation, man. Click the subscribe and click it. So guess what? So you will not miss when we go live. We don't want y'all to miss this good stuff that God be giving us to give to you guys. So click on. Click.
Click.
It's a press of a button. Click that button. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss. You're missing out. So listen, y'all, we are back. First of all, congratulations to your boy. You know what I'm saying, man? Last week was a very important week for me, man. I graduated. I'm still celebrating, man. It was a milestone, man. Graduated.
It's a celebration.
Yes. I have a master's degree in clinical Christian counseling.
Yes.
And I am so honored to God that he allowed such prestigious.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
So, man, listen, man. So, man, how was y'all week, man? You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, what's going on, man? Me, Zania, it's good to see you, man. It seems like it's been last year, you know?
That long.
It's been that long. A whole week seems like a whole year.
Right.
We know we talked to you by side of you.
But even though I did miss the conversation though. So
yes, absolutely. Yes. We do miss it, man, when we're not on here. So we will do better, y'all. Yeah. We will not miss a week no matter what.
No matter what.
Man, they changed the studio up on us, y'all. They done went gold on us. They done got gold on us, man. This look good in here.
That's
you know what I'm saying? Listen, y'all. Y'all might want to come out here, man. If y'all ain't even in the Houston area, you might want to fly to Houston and come to do a podcast in this studio, man.
Sacred Stone Studios. Come here.
Y'all need to come here. Look in here. Sacred Stone Studios. These boys will take care of everything you need. Book anything. They do it. They record you breathing. And bring it to life.
They bring the breath.
They bring the breath to life. You know what I'm saying? Bad breath, good breath, no breath at all. They bring it to life.
They'll put a filter on the bad breath.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Make it look nice.
So listen, y'all. Today's topic is things couples should talk about, but they don't.
Yes.
Communication, y'all, is a very, very, very important component in relationship. And a lot of times, like we said in the beginning, and I was thinking about that, there's some things that we do have in the closet that we leave in the closet, and we don't want to discuss that closet because there's certain things that we've hidden in that closet. We put it away years ago, and we stashed it in the closet. You know what I'm saying? You know how we have little drawers that all little things, garments that we don't want to see no more, little things that we just, or remind us of certain bad things, and we store it in that closet. But a lot of times, situations come that knock on the door of that closet. You know what I'm saying? Or make it look like we about to open that door. And if somebody else has to open that door or even make you feel like they got to open that door, it could cause a wrench in your communication. So there's certain things that as a couple, as a relationship, that we should talk about.
The silent struggles.
Yes, we should talk about, y'all. So with that being said, I got a couple of questions that I want to ask y'all even before we delve into this, because I believe this is the catalyst of going into this topic. Do y'all believe, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I know the people are chiming with, they'll come in and catch us. Do y'all believe that okay, here it is. Is loyalty in a relationship and friendship or friendship the same thing?
Is loyalty in relationship or friendship the same?
And or friendship the same thing?
Loyalty. Go ahead, Zany.
That's a loaded. I was going to let you go because I think it all depends on how you define loyalty for each person. Because loyalty could be something real heavy for some people.
And let me explain. Let me go even deep into the question so I can help y'all answer it even a little better.
Okay.
Because when it comes to conversation, right, and there's certain things that we withhold in the relationship, we feel like this person is not loyal in the relationship. So are there certain things that you withhold in the friendship that makes it or that differentiates the certain things that you hold in the relationship? So that's what I mean when I mean that loyalty is that which you withhold. So is it the same thing in relationship and or friendship? Is that loyalty considered the same thing when it comes to information that you withhold?
I think it's different.
Okay.
For me.
Okay.
I'll say for me, it's different. Because there's a certain freedom that I have with my spouse, or should I say liberty that I have with my spouse, that I wouldn't necessarily want to give to my friend, not because I can't trust my friend with it, but for the sake of, if I give you this information, when I'm over it, will you still hang on to it?
Uh-huh.
Or will the information I give you cause you to see this person differently, right?
Yeah.
Where my spouse is in the house with me, so when my decision and my moods change, my spouse can have a clearer understanding of the better perspective of what's really going on versus just the information I'm giving.
Mm-hmm. So
for me, I think it is different.
You think it's different? Think it's different too, Lady Free?
Well,
before you breathe, but I heard it in the breath. So okay. Hold on, let me before you breathe.
You know me so well.
Yeah, I know you. Before you even breathe, let me say this. Now, that's a great answer, what you said. But let's think about the society and let's think about what truly goes on and what's really the issue in relationships. Because a lot of us feel more comfortable telling our friend things that we won't tell our mate, that we won't tell our significant other. But we'll feel more comfortable and we develop that loyalty with a friend. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to somebody who we're with every day. I believe it should be that way, but there's a lot of situations where there are people who are more loyal to their friends than they are to their... It is different, but I believe the loyalty part plays a little... A greater loyalty to the friendship as opposed to, and remember this too, there are certain things, because I, even being married to my wife, there were certain things that we were, but no, you know what, because we weren't like that, because that's the basis of our situation.
Friendship.
So, so I go back and kind of reiterate that when it comes to me and her, there is no difference. It's the same, because the friendship that we had before we dated is the friendship that we had when we started dating or when we dated and even in marriage. So nothing changed. We were friends and we were talking from the beginning. We were talking like, listen, I struggle with this. These are certain things that should be talked in conversations, but this is actually what I desired, because I wanted that friendship. I wanted my significant other to be my best friend.
Right.
Because, you know, that's important, because how do you learn that person without being a friend? So most of us differentiate it because there's certain things we don't want to tell our spouse or our significant other because we feel that it's going to cause a riffraff or it's going to cause a certain response. But you know, yeah, y'all chime in on that, because I think, I mean, I say it's that's the same, but with today's society, is I feel it's different. So I'm a little biased with it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, what you say, Lady Free?
I don't have anything yet because I'm still struggling with the fact of loyalty. Go ahead. No, I'll come in when I have something. I don't have anything yet, to be honest.
Okay. Go ahead, Mia.
Okay, and I think that goes back to what we talked about on Chick Chat, right? Because when you're talking about loyalty for friendship, the quality of friend you pick, that loyalty will go into work naturally. Because you said, like, in today's society, you find that more people are more loyal to their friendships than they are their spouse. Mm. But a loyal friend will tell your butt, girl, get in line. Your husband calling you. Go spend time with your husband. Go spend time with your wife. What you doing, bro? Mm. You know, a true loyal friend. You wouldn't feel like you have to choose, or you wouldn't even feel divided in any kind of way. Mm. So I think it all depends on the quality of friend that you choose. And that comes with maturity as well, though.
Yes, yes.
Because how you choose your relationships depends on you, how you see yourself, how you relate. And all of those other things.
Yeah.
So the quality of friendship also, you know, kind of shows how to determine your loyalty.
Got you. And I say that because, like I said, going back to what I was saying, I say that because there shouldn't be a difference. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, because we don't go into our relationships as friends, then what we do is we don't have those conversations that we need to have. Because sometimes I hear a lot of people say this. Don't tell everybody. That's your business. You don't tell people your business. You don't. And I hear it like, why not? Why wouldn't you tell them your business? Because, you know, like who you are and how you respond to things and what you do and how you feel about certain. These are certain conversations that you must have. Like if you struggle, here's one conversation that I believe should be had especially when it comes to relationship things you struggle with. You know what I'm saying? Like this, like why wouldn't you let people know, okay, I struggle with finances. I struggle with porn. I struggle with certain things. I have this struggle. Why wouldn't you, I mean, even.
Are these your real struggles?
I'm just saying these are.
Because I was going to say, I ain't know about the porn part. You ain't tell me that.
No.
Are these your struggles, your personal struggles?
No, well. Well, when I was younger, in my younger days before I matured, oh yeah, I struggled. But I mean, I didn't struggle with it. It really was my coping mechanism because of the relationship that I was in before, because I was looking for love, and because I wasn't getting it, I didn't want to go find it somewhere else. I just kind of like took care of myself.
So it's something that you no longer struggle with? I'm asking the question.
No, I don't struggle with porn. I don't have to.
Are you being loyal to me right now?
Look, nigga, we got an imaginary pole.
I'm just saying. See, and I guess the reason why I'm having such a hard time with the loyalty, so y'all know I love ChatGPT because I don't want to misconstrue a conversation behind trying to sound like I know something when I know what loyalty is. However, I had to define it to make it make sense to me. And it says a strong feeling of support, allegiance, or commitment to someone or something, often demonstrated through consistent action, trust, and faithfulness over time, especially during challenges or difficulties. Now, when it comes to that, to me, that's a character issue. So therefore, if I'm a loyal person, I'm loyal, period.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of whether it's me being loyal to my friends, loyal to my family, loyal to my spouse or the person I'm in a relationship with. Loyalty is loyalty. And to me, it's not the amount of loyalty. It's like being pregnant. Either you're pregnant or you're not. I'm a little bit pregnant. No. If you're loyal, you're loyal.
Mm-hmm.
So picking the right people, just like Zania said, picking the right people to be in your community, in your village is important, because if you're a loyal person, and like Pastor Jay, you loyal to a fault. So therefore, even as your wife, sometimes it makes me nervous when you choose to be around certain people that you are only looking at, oh, that's a soul. That's somebody I just, you really want to minister to this person or whatever. And I'm looking at it like you might not want to be so connected to yeah. that person because of your loyalty. You'll become loyal to that person to a fault. And then it's like that person will not be worthy of that because that's not what their intentions are for the relationship. So my thing is loyalty has to do with the person, not the people you're being loyal to. Because if I'm loyal, I'm loyal, period.
Mm. Hey, Patricia, just wanted to give a little shout out.
And that's good because I mean, the thought I just had as I heard you talking, Free, because that is true. And when you have a heart for people, you have a heart to serve, you find yourself connecting to those who God didn't never intended you to connect to in that kind of way.
Yeah.
So I think the loyalty should be unto God, right? But a lot of times we give loyalty to people. When God would instruct us how the relationship should be handled with people, but we become loyal to people because God connected us to them in some form or fashion, right? So I think if we always look at it in the fact of being loyal to God, okay, God, how do you want me to handle this? How do you want me to, what do you want me to say to this person? What should this relationship be with this person?
You got to ask.
You don't have to worry. Yeah, you don't have to worry so much about being disloyal because your loyalty was never to the person. It was loyal to God who instructed you how to handle that situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess, and I hear what you're saying, but I guess the whole point is just understanding why it's important when you have relationships. Because remember, we're talking about the conversations and the things that...
The silent struggles.
Yeah, that relationships don't talk about, but they should. So the thing is, the reason why they don't talk, because they're loyal to not the relationship, but friends. Sometimes they're loyal to friends, but they won't give you the information that they would give a friend. So my question was, is it the same thing to be loyal to a friend or a relationship or a relationship? My answer was, I believe it's the same because you're the person you're in a relationship with. You should be able to be the best friend to that relationship, or you should be in a relationship with your friend. And I say that to say again, because today's society has made relationship strictly about physicality so that they don't have anything that they talk about. So there are things I remember because I used to do that myself, because it was like, I don't want you to know the secrets of myself,
the deep stuff,
yeah. Because that would stop you from being intimate with me when my goal was to be intimate. That was my goal. So there was not a friendship, and there was certain things that we would not talk about. I had a relationship with somebody that we didn't talk. It was strictly physical. And anything outside, everything we did was because of that reason alone. But that's a lot of today's relationships.
So there's no loyalty in that anyway, because the motive was not loyalty or friendship or relationship. The goal was situationship.
Yeah. Or the goal was... I said
situationship so that it'll be more, you know.
Yeah. So
podcast friendly.
Yeah. So that's that
entanglement. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Right.
That's that closet that we don't want people. But again, that is the thing that should be the forefront of a relationship, because you got to go in that closet and unpack it. But who?
Okay.
I have
a question.
Sure.
I'm finna go real deep. Because, y'all, I feel like today we pity-pat around a lot of stuff. And the world is ugly.
Mm-hmm.
But we try to make it pretty. So, okay.
Okay.
Pastor Jay and I was looking at this TV show the other day. And the reason why we decided to look at it, because it had Atlanta in the title. And, you know, I'm an ATLian. So, you know, I was like, okay, yes, Let's watch this. It was talking about top 10, I guess, crimes in Atlanta or something like that. Well, the first one, I'm going to make it quick. Two dudes on the basketball court playing basketball. They didn't know each other, one-on-one. Both of them alpha. One of the dudes said, hey, man, you know, because it's hot. You know, they sweating. You want some water. He said, yeah, I'll take a bottle of water. he on the phone with his girl saying, yeah, I'm done playing basketball. I'm on the way home, blah, 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 whatever. While he distracted on the phone, the dude that offered him the water put something in the water, shook it up, put the top back on real tight, gave it to the guy. All right. When he gave it to the guy didn't think nothing of it. He got his phone, popped it open, and started to drink it. All of a sudden, he started becoming disoriented, and he passed out. Excuse me. So when he passed out, the guy that gave him the water violated him. Now, this is not no little bitty boy. This is a grown, two grown men. Right there in the park, he violated him. They called it the water boy, the water bottle boys. Dudes that's going around giving people water and drugging them to take advantage of him. Now, when he got home, he came to or whatever, they didn't show all that. He got home, he was in the bathroom deciphering, like going through everything that had just happened to him, right? The lady came home. Why wasn't you answering your phone? What you in the bathroom doing? The bathroom locked, and she was just fussing because she had no clue this man just went through something traumatic. But he wasn't able to tell her. Silent struggles, things that people should be able to talk about but can't, because as a grown man, how do I tell this woman that my life just changed in a moment? It's shame involved in it. It's guilt involved in it. It's all of these a hit in my ego involved in this.
Not to mention he had blood on the back of his underwear.
Right, because he was violated.
Oh,
the thing about it is he suffered in silence, and I couldn't watch. I'm just going to be honest. I ain't even watched the other nine. I could not watch not another thing. It made me sad. It made me sick to my stomach. I just could not watch it. No more of it. So I don't even know what happened. But the bottom line is I told my husband, and I was real honest with him about this. I said, babe, if anything like that ever happened to you, you know, we not on this. This ain't never going to happen to me, because that was an alpha male. The drugs caused him to pass out. If anything like that ever happened to you, tell me, because that's why I'm here. I'm not going to look at you strange behind it. I'm not going to call you no bata boy. I'm not doing none of that. I'm going to be in that thing with you. And as your wife, I'm going to go to war with you that God will help you, because it's the enemy who wants you to be silent about it, because he'll play on that shame. Mm-hmm. He'll play on that guilt. And all of a sudden, you up here trying to take your own life, or you closed off and something wrong and I can't figure out what. No. So I put it out there up front just by us watching that little snippet. Dude, if anything like that happened, I'm the chick. Come to me, please. It's going to be safe with me, and we'll work through that thing together. But don't be silent about it. It's so many people that's going through silent shame, silent guilt, silent struggles, and they don't have nobody to talk to, not even their spouse. And it's not about not being loyal, because the whole point about loyalty is supporting the person. This person now needs support.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like just because I didn't tell you what happened, I'm not loyal anymore. It's I need somebody to be loyal to me right now. But how do I even say what happened to me? How do I even bring myself as a grown man to say that this is what I just went through?
Patricia said, hey, Patricia, we love you so much, girl.
Hey, Patricia.
She said, and he's struggling because it makes him feel less than a man.
Listen.
So he can't tell it to his partner or no one else. That's deep therapy, and hope he can get help.
And imagine the fact of how she came in the house. When I say she was like, what you in there doing? You don't never close the door. And when you in the bathroom, why you?
That's what it is, though. I tell you, like I said, a lot of times we hold information because we don't want to deal with. Now, mind you, she's already coming in. Why are you in this? Why are you? You already in your mind already feel like, okay, this is gonna be an attack, because if I tell her, then she may say something. You know, she may say something against, you know, how I'm feeling right now. So you withholding the information, and you gotta. And for some reason, I don't know why a man feels like being tough means that you can't be vulnerable. You know what I'm saying? Being tough don't mean you cannot be vulnerable. You're a human being.
Yeah.
You know, it don't say that you're not a man. But again, there's not a safe place. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Stuff that we stuff in the closet is put in a safe place. And if you take it out of that closet to now bring it to somebody who you don't know is safe as that closet, it's hard for you to it's hard for you to give information that's been stored safely in a safe to now bring it to somebody who you really don't know. You know what I'm saying? This information that I give, I don't know how safe this is going to be.
Right. Yeah.
So this is a lot. Cause I it's so much like, wow, because it boils down to that's a safe space. Right. But the thing about the closet, Pastor Jay, is I had a pair of leather boots. Right. And because leather boots are seasonal, I stored them in my closet. Mm-hmm. and I stored them away thinking, oh, if they sit in this closet, I don't have to worry about humidity. I don't have to worry about all the changes that my leather boots are going to last. Mm-hmm. When winter came back around and I took those leather boots out from where I had them hidden in the closet, mm-hmm. they were all cracked and peeling. And I said, oh my gosh, this is the reason why I didn't put it in a storage container, because I didn't want the heat and all of that other elements to mm-hmm. get to it. But even in a closet where I thought it was safe, still damaged them. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's what happens with all of our hurts and pains yeah. and disgraces.
Yeah,
all
on.
The things that we feel like, if we put them away for safekeeping, we think it's going to be there Mm-mm. and I ain't got to worry about it. But as it's sitting there, it's rotting and deteriorating.
Yeah,
and it's
affecting us. Happening.
It's not just rotting. Because think about it. When you put an apple and a bunch of apples and that one apple start rotting, what yeah. happens?
It one affects the whole bunch. It spoiled a whole, yeah.
So let me ask you this then. That's key. But check this out. If you're already rotten, how can you tell the difference of something that's rotting when you already identifying with the rot? And you may, because that's the whole point. You're rotting. You are damaged already. The stuff in there that you leave in there is what is the product of you, the damage. So even if it's getting more damage, you identifying it. But the thing is, this is what you want to hide because it's hard for you to deal with that damage. How do you deal with damage? And a lot of us don't know how to deal with it. So the thing is, so we look for solace. And it may not even be in a conversation, but it may be in other things. It may be, you know, saying, let me go to a whole nother coping mechanism. Let me go to something else. Let me be something that I know that I'm not, but this is going to give me the comfortability of not feeling as bad as I already know that I am. You know, because a lot of times we don't even want people to go in that closet because we already know it's damaged.
Right.
You know, so we don't even want people to see that damage. We just want to keep the door closed and make sure that nobody sees that damage. And we walk around here damaged on the inside, but hiding it on the outside.
And unlike those boots, you never plan to take them back out.
You don't. Yeah.
So you don't know what yeah. damage is being done.
Exactly.
While you think it's safe and right. it's really not safe at all. And see, that's why mm-hmm. I believe it is very important.
Absolutely.
The people that you bring into your life and connect with.
Absolutely.
Whether it's dating, whether it's relationship, whether it's engagement,
Absolutely.
Whether it's marriage, whether it's friends, no matter what. We have not been taught to protect our environment to the point where those people we hold closest to us are going to be the ones that's going to give us counsel.
Mm-hmm.
Those people we hold closest to us are going to be the ones that we're going to be able to lean on and talk to about very intimate and things that nobody else will know. Those will be the people we're on the phone with, praying with, encouraging, crying, all of that. You
Absolutely.
Have to be careful. That's why, like when you said something about the silent struggles, the first thing I thought about was marriage counseling. When you go to marriage counseling, you already in love with this person. You already like, oh my God, I love him. He loved me. We're going to go to marriage counseling because we're getting married. I got the ring. And when you mm-hmm. go into that counseling session, the only thing you really want is for them to tell you, it's okay. You're good. Get married.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about the hard stuff. We don't talk about what happens in that. Okay, so you get married and you find out that the kid that you were that was once a 5-year-old who loved you to death now is a teenager. It's not your baby. It's a blended family. But you married into this, and now this child is a teenager being very rebellious. not coming home, running away all the time, causing strain on the marriage and the relationship between you and the mother. What do you do then? We don't talk about the hard stuff.
It's great that you say that. Let me just read this comment. Hey, Dwayne, what's going on? Dwayne Curry. I called you Dwayne, Dwayne Curry. He said, that's why it's easier to discuss with stranger than some. Oh, wow. He said somebody. Let me read the comment before that to go. But he says, slow down. Someone can trigger you without them knowing if not discussed. That's why it's easier to discuss with a stranger than somebody that knows you.
And that I just had this conversation earlier today with my brother, because unfortunately, with somebody who know you, all they see is your actions and how your actions affect them. Yeah. So every time you do an action, it just keep building up. It just keep building up. However, when you tell that person, oh, your actions are doing da 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 da, they be like, no, I'm not. They can't see it. Why? Because they can only see their intentions inside.
Absolutely.
They know their intentions. And they know their intentions are good. So how dare you tell me that my actions are negative when I see my intentions and my intentions are good.
Right. Yeah.
So when you approach a stranger and you do that action, they know nothing of you. So they have no offenses built up against you, right?
Right.
None. So you do the action and they tell you, ooh, why do you do that? And then now you feel more free to tell them
why. They
want to
get an understanding.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You feel free. Yeah. But you didn't feel free with the person who you kept offending. Why? Because now y'all both lack understanding and compassion because all you have is experiences.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say a lot of times as a person, you have to let down your experiences to understand a person and just get an understanding.
I like
why
that.
Why do you keep doing that? After I just asked you not to keep doing that, why do you keep triggering me like that? Please make me understand.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll understand that the trigger is not just the person doing it, but it is you too.
Yeah.
It is both of y'all.
Yeah.
It's great that, man, y'all, this is great. But check this out. Just like the dude was violated, I think the conversation that we should have also is children. Because where does that feeling and that emotion start from when we are kids? When we are kids, sometimes kids go through parents not being there. So I believe this is a conversation that we should have. Like, okay, is this child experiencing, you know, a father not being there or a mother not being there?
Mm-hmm.
Was the child? You got to find out this information because you know what?
Right.
Children get with other children and influence other children. So we don't know what spirits that we're allowing with our kids. If we're allowing a child to come in and say, oh, they're friends or you know, they playing together, but not knowing what this child is going through. And this child could really be trying to find that figure in this other child, because guess what children do to each other? They relate.
Yeah.
So if I can get you to relate with me as a child, and this is so innocent, you know what I'm saying? You know, we didn't allow the host. And what we did, I heard somebody preach this to minister to this today. They said if you allow the spirit to come in the house, then what you have done is when you try to get that spirit in, it'll always try to find its way back to that house because you've allowed the spirit already to come into your house. So I believe that this is a conversation that you should have even as friends and even especially in a relationship. If there's, you know, kids outside of the relationship, you got to really find out this information. Because just say you got a kid. Just say I got a son and my son touched your son. And I didn't tell you that my son was struggling or my son was struggling with a mom who said, who made the situation bad. And now my son is struggling and I bring my son around your son because I want my son to not have a friend to play with. And my son just touched your son. Now your son is affected with that spirit and that causes an issue. Mm. So now we don't even come together because we didn't have this conversation.
Yeah.
Come on.
And you know what? It is that serious. I don't know why I felt like I heard somebody say it's not that serious. It is that serious.
It's serious.
Because of the simple fact that actually happened to somebody I know. Was babysitting and allowed this little kid. He was like maybe 2 years older than her child. Babysitting this child. The child was it? They was quiet in the room. It's like, wait, it's too quiet. She went to go find out what was going on and saw that this little kid was touching her child. The little kid said the reason why he did it was because that's what his uncle does to him. He thought it was
yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
He had no clue. He had no clue. He was a little kid. But now what has happened is he has now brought
that experience
into someone else's life, not even intentionally trying to hurt that person. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it, when we're talking about the silent struggles, some of those silent struggles are, I need help understanding what I should teach my kids. How can I tell my child they don't need to, well, I don't feel comfortable you playing with that child without them feeling like, oh, you doing too much. Why can't I be around? And of course they're gonna try to sneak anyway. We gotta prepare our children. Prepare them. And then when you have a blended family, you gotta be able to before you get married. Yeah. Talk about how do we do this parenting thing together? Mm-hmm. What is your parenting style? I don't know who came up with the word parenting style. I know somebody very, you know, intellectual.
But there are different parenting styles, you know. I mean,
there's only one style, and that's the style that God created. Because if he created us and he gave us the blueprint of how to do us, then for us to go outside of that and say, well, I'd rather do it this way, that's kind of contrary to it. Just like Elon Musk did electric car. And we say, well, you know what? I don't really like going to the electric thing. Also, I'm just going to put gas in mine. Some of them have gas in, but you know what I'm saying. We can't say that the person that created this is not accurate in telling us how to be the best we can be at it and say, I'd rather do it this way, and that's going to work out fine. It doesn't work out fine.
There's only one parenting style.
Train up a child in the way they should go. And we're talking about future. And when they get old, they'll have something to hold on to. They'll go out there, but they won't go so far because you've disciplined them. Discipline means help them, train them, get them back on the right track, correct it when they're going in the wrong direction, giving them something to say, you know what, I can't do that because it's somewhere in there. It tells you,
But here's the thing.
That's too far.
No, but here's the thing, Lady Free. You're absolutely right. I totally agree with you. That's awesome.
Right.
But you got to really be, when we say the parenting style, I would say this is how somebody parents their child. We're not saying it's right or not. We're not saying whether it's wrong, whether it's right. I mean, you are saying it's wrong.
I guess there are different styles of training.
But people who will say, well, I'm not going to beat my kid because I just say I feel like all I got to do is talk to them. But this is why you have to have that conversation, because if you have a kid coming in a situation with a child that doesn't, a mom or a dad that doesn't believe in disciplining their child, and you are a disciplinarian, you believe spare the rod, spoil the child, but this one said, I'm going to spare the child because I'm going to spare her.
I'm going to spare the rod. So I'm going to spare her.
So right then and there, you already have a difference of how you're going to come together. But the thing is, you got to really, how do you dig deep into understanding that this is how somebody wants to raise their kids. And we know that it's not biblical because, again, train up the child. And training up the child, to me,
spare the rod, spoil the child.
Spare the rod, spoil the child.
It's a real rod.
It's not a figment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really not.
And it's not beat your child. It's not be angry and just knock them out. It's not that. It's correct them in love. Help them to understand that there is a consequence that comes with actions. And if you do certain things, there is going to be a consequence or a reward. You got to know this.
Yeah.
We have to teach this. So you ask the question, the parenting style. If my parenting style is spare the rod, spoil the child, which means I agree with what the word of God say, and every now and then it calls for that child to get a spanking, not a beat down. Then you say, no. I like for my child to express themselves. I believe in expression, and how else are they going to express themselves? If I whoop them for expressing themselves, then they're going to feel that every time they express themselves in life, that they're going to be punished. That's a lie from the pits of Beelzebub, because I got whoopings and I still express myself.
Listen to this. This is why even before it comes to that style, excuse me, you got to really talk about, have the conversation of their spiritual beliefs, because if somebody doesn't, because if somebody don't even believe in the scripture, then they're not going to follow what the word says.
Please.
Yeah, yep. They're not going. They're going to. That means they're going to do it their own way. That's so this is a conversation that should be had before even you talk about parenting styles. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in that word of God? You know what I'm saying? You may believe in Muhammad, or you may believe in Elon Musk. You know, you may believe in
the stars and the
rocks. You may believe in the moon and the stars. Yeah. So of course you go peace, we tranquility.
You know what I mean, it's not me mocking. Different people believe in different things,
but you gotta have that. You gotta have that conversation.
That's a silent struggle too.
What do you believe in spiritually? You know what I'm saying? And because the how can two walk together lest they agree?
Right.
So if I believe in Jesus and you believe in
something
of a God,
yeah,
then it ain't gonna work. First of all, but there are two. There can't be two masters in the house. You got to serve. You got to serve one.
Or
you can't
the serve. Other.
That is a struggle because I done seen it. I done been around a household that where somebody didn't go to church and somebody did. It was a struggle because it was like, why are you in the church all the time? You ain't, you know, and I saw the fight that came behind that. So that's a struggle.
And then you go out and mess around with somebody else because she always in the church, serving in the church house, and you at the house saying, man, I ain't finna go up in there. So she ain't giving you attention that you feel like you deserve and you're going to go out. And somebody else gonna catch that eye.
Yeah.
Silent struggles. Now you got something you got to hide. Silent struggles are all about the things you have to hide. The things you don't feel comfortable talking about your marriage. In your relationship. What are those things?
So because of this, let me ask y'all this question, women, ladies. Okay. Y'all out there in radio. Hey, Lisa. Hey, Aunt Liza. How you doing? Kanisha Davis, thank you for tuning in. She said, gotta be equally yoked.
That's right, baby.
So let me ask y'all this. Is it important that you are made to feel a certain way? Like, you made me feel loved today. Or you made me feel like I mattered. Is that conversation important? Is that important? And if it is, how important is that?
Of course it's important.
Huh?
Of course it's important.
Because I believe that's where a lot of the struggle in conversation is. Because it's the importance of how you're made to feel, it hinders the conversation. Because everybody is trying to feel a certain way in the conversation. You know what I'm saying? Instead of just really understanding what the language is. Come on. Zania.
Go ahead, girl, because I see it. I see it all over you. Go.
Because it's... It's two sides to it, right?
Okay.
Because yes, it's very important to talk about, because your question was, is it important to talk about? Absolutely. Yes. It's important to talk about how you make me feel, how I desire to feel.
Uh-huh.
All that is important, right? Because if not, I'm going to come to my own conclusion about how I feel, right? However, it's also important to give an understanding of why my actions was what it was towards the action. So then you could determine, or we can determine, whether what you felt fit the situation, or did you, because let's be honest, what we feel, our emotions, is based on our own understanding, not based on what the person actually did, right? So if you give me understanding of why you did what you did, then I can see if my emotion was wrong. Because sometimes what we feel about it is wrong based on how we perceive the person's actions.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes my emotions is correct. And then I'm going to give you an understanding why my emotions are correct. And then it's up to you to receive it so that you know in the future, let's not repeat that. Let's find a better way of doing that. So is it important to talk about it? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I got you.
Communicate. Worse, it's not the only way to communicate.
Uh-huh. Eliza said emotional. Eliza, we miss you. And Darren, she said emotional help is vital for a healthy relationship. Let me say this. Because not to put business out there, but we had to talk to a couple. And it was so important. It was so important that the emotion was understood. I feel this way, and because I feel this way, this, you know, it made me think that if you don't understand how I feel, then you don't see me. Mm. You don't see who I am because you don't understand how I feel. So with that being said, I believe, especially when it comes to, and trust me, I don't knock women at all. I don't knock you guys. I'm married to a woman, so I don't knock women. But women, we understand you guys to be emotional. And like I said, I'm not justifying it. I'm not saying it because men, I know some men that are emotional. But here's the thing. Because her feelings were what they were, and she needed her feelings to be seen, that's what the conversation should was supposed to stay at, how I felt. So it didn't matter what it was or what the situation was, because there was a different perspective to the situation. But the way she felt had to be taken care of before the situation was even dealt with. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's you got to be kind of careful, especially in dealing in relationship, that your feelings are not what drive the situation. So and when it comes to that, it's hard to have a conversation with somebody who makes it about how they feel instead of saying, okay, you have a perspective, I have a perspective, let's bring our perspective together and let's come up with something that works for the both of us. But when it's about your feelings, then what you're doing is you're coming all the way over to this perspective, this other perspective, and you're trying to wipe it out by how you feel.
Unfortunately, we live in a world today where there is a lot of lack in our upbringing.
Uh-huh.
Mama's working. She don't really have a lot of time to feed me emotionally. She doesn't have a lot of time to do this and this and that. Or mom and dad are both in the house, but mm-hmm. both of them are working because we have to pay. They have to make sure they take care of everything for us and the kids, whatever. Or daddy not there. It's all different types of scenarios that cause us to have different attachment styles, right? So when we're talking about adults now, who have gone through certain things growing up,
mm-hmm.
lacking certain emotions, certain love, certain being seen and not being told or affirmed in their actions and stuff. So now they don't feel enough. All of that stuff is going to come out in relationship, period, point blank. It's going to come out. The whole point is to give you the tools to understand that, yes, I'm emotional right now, but if you know me, you will, if you really know me and love me to understand me, then you'll understand that, okay, you know what, right now, things are heightened in her emotions. So let's deal with that first, because if we don't deal with her emotions first, then what's going to do is, just like you said, Pastor Jay, the emotions are going to run everything. So let's figure out, let's deal with that first. And then after dealing with that, now you have a level playing field. Now I've shown you that I'm considering you. Yes, I've shown you that I understand where you're coming from. I'm actually actively listening to you to get an understanding of where your heart is right now. Once that's done, now it's easier for us to have I'm not saying it's going to be totally bling. Everything is just perfect now. We could talk. No. But sometimes those emotions, we have to understand, people are emotionally driven in today's time. People, it's at an all-time high. We have to know that going in, that the people we're dealing with in a relationship on day-to-day, they're going to be some emotional people when bad things or conversations or confrontations happen, conflict and all that stuff. Especially with what we're watching on TV today, everything is fighting, throwing wine in your face or whatever the case. We're building up these characters to figure out this is how you cope with situations. And so therefore, yeah, we're going to have heightened emotions. But if we learn that person that we're in relationship with to know enough to say this, let me figure out how to better deal with that first so we can both have a conversation mm-hmm. that's more worthy of understanding each other.
And let me say something. We have... one, weaponized emotions.
Come on.
And two, gender characterized emotions.
Come on.
First of all, God created all of us, not just females. He created all of us with emotions.
In his image.
Because women are the ones who outwardly shows it, then we are the ones who are labeled emotional. But men are very much as emotional. A shutdown stems from an emotion. Mm-hmm. The wanting to go cheat stems from an emotion.
Right.
The hollering and screaming stems from an emotion. Everything, every action you can find that a man does still stems from an emotion.
Yeah.
I say it's a response.
Stop saying
it's an emotion.
No, it's from emotion.
Yeah.
Even if it's a response, right? It's a response because I don't feel heard. It's still from emotion.
Feel, yeah.
So what we have to stop doing is gender characterizing emotions and weaponizing emotions so that we can have healthy emotions. Because when you disregard an emotion, then you deal with it unhealthily because you didn't call it what it was.
Uh-huh.
It's just like if I go cut down a tree and I cut it from the trunk, what you think going to happen with that tree?
It's going to fall over. Timber. Oh,
no, it's going to grow back. It's going to grow back. I got one in my yard right now. They kept cutting down the little trunk part, but they never got to the root of the problem.
The root.
So as long as you keep disregarding the root, which is the emotion, men, you're going to keep having that tree grow back and you're going to want it. But the thing is, here's the bad part. You're going to only see the speck in your eye while you're looking at your female's plank.
Mm-hmm.
Men, it don't have to be a plank and it don't have to be a speck if you deal with the root, which is the emotion.
Let's put some stars,
so when,
y'all.
So when you stars. Dealing with people, know you dealing with the root. You're dealing with that thing that's at the root of the tree.
That's true.
The fruit is only what the arguments. The fruit is the storming out. The fruit is the shutdown.
Let me,
the fruit is not the main thing. It's the root. What caused all of that?
Let me get a couple of answers from the comments.
Okay.
Because I did ask the question, and Patricia said, yes, it is important. That's part of communication. That's a relationship.
Yeah.
You know each other's needs and wants as the biggest part of communication in a relationship, and you want something from God. You talk to and pray to God. His spirit rain down on you. Exactly. Kenesha Davis said, exactly. It was always, I'm always in my feelings, or I'm doing too much because of their actions. Kenesha, now.
Yeah, yeah.
Eliza said, absolutely on point. You are right. She said, I've had to isolate myself for a while from dating to really figure out who I really am in Christ. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. And Eliza said, you should be in control of your emotions, and your emotions not in control of you, male or female. Absolutely.
Male or female.
That's what y'all were just saying.
Male or female.
Now that you say that, because truth, you know, it is characterizing the same thing, that it's an emotion, and emotion does not have a gender on it.
No, and
you say it that way, I kind of see that. But the thing is, too, we should not trigger those emotions. We got to be able to have the conversation. And sometimes what we don't do.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Hold on, wait a minute.
Huh? To the period, those ain't.
Wait. Why not?
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm gonna get there.
I'm gonna get there.
Because we should be able to deal with them by having a conversation and allowing those emotions so that you can go through the process of healing those emotions and coming to a meeting place. Hmm. But the only way to do that, I believe, is having the conversation. See, the thing is, we don't want to deal with those emotions.
We don't know how.
So we avoid, same thing. So we avoid the emotions and that come with the conversation, and we don't have it. Which still brings on emotions, because you're going to feel a certain way, like I wasn't good enough for you to share that with me when that's a part of you. So the thing is, we got to be able to deal with it. We got to be able to come down Straight Street to have the conversation and not worry about the response of whoever we given the information to. And I think that if we are able to deal with that, then I believe that we'll at least practice a level of consistency in the communication and learning how to eliminate those emotions. You know what I'm saying? So
no, not eliminate. Is that the word you wanted to use?
I mean, that came to my mind for the moment.
Oh, okay, because to face the emotions. Because the thing is, that's what's wrong with a lot of relationships right now. We don't face the ugly. We kind of just push it to the side, ignore it, you know. The Bible said I could be angry. He just said don't sin. That means my anger is an emotion that I am allowed to have. But at the same time, I shouldn't go so far as to do the wrong thing because of how I feel. So the emotions are real. If I'm feeling some kind of way behind anything you say, I heard you, Zane, say, if my emotions are wrong, my emotions not wrong. Not based on what I felt or from an experience or something that was is still hurting on the inside of me that I felt from what you said. Now, maybe I took it wrong, but my emotion was exactly what my emotion was supposed to be. Now, the thing that's so beautiful about marriage, and people don't understand this a lot of times, is my husband has a front row seat to all my ugly. All of it.
Tickets and all.
Flaws and all. What better person for God to give the opportunity to see the flaws that I can now trust my husband to take to God? They can have a discussion about me, and God can give my husband the words and the actions to help heal and cultivate me than the person that I say I love the most. We get so angry with our spouses and the people we're in relationship with, because when they see the ugly, they don't know what to do with it, or we don't want to see your ugly. Why are you fussing at me? Or it becomes about you. No, it's not about you. It's really about, it is about me. It's about something I just shown you, probably involuntarily too, that I'm dealing with on the inside. Because you love me like you love me, shouldn't you be the one to say, okay, you know what? Let's figure this thing out. Let's deal with this. But because we don't know how to relate today, We not in real relationships. We just in the fly by night. I got to get it how I live. I want to feel good for the moments kind of thing. You see more of that than two people coming together trying to figure out, like, okay, I saw that. That's that plank in your eye that Zania was talking about. That's that flaw. You close enough to me to see it. So because you close, you can't see a speck in my eye unless you close to me.
But then I get what you're saying, man. I hear what you're saying, but
what am I saying?
Let me make my point here, okay? Let me make my point. I because it's hard.
Shut up, period, Frank.
Yeah, it's hard to. I believe it's hard to go in a situation and I have to deal with your emotions.
Of course it is.
Well, yeah, it's hard to deal with your emotions because those are your emotions,
right?
So the thing is, if you don't deal with your emotions, then how do you expect me to deal with your emotions? No. Whatever caused that. So that's my point. This is what makes it hard to say, you know, let's get to, because the thing is, our emotions take precedent over the issue or whatever it is, or over the situation.
I'm not saying you're responsible for my emotions.
So why can't we take responsibility for our emotions and keep that in check?
Sometimes
so that we can
people
have.
Don't even realize that that's how they're emoting.
Yeah.
It's the pain. It's what my pain look like. And because I'm sorry, Zane, I got you, boo. Because this is what I'm dealing with as the person that sees that, and you see my pain and you see that I'm hurting, then you should be able to come alongside of me and help me better than anybody else can, because you got the closest view to who I am and you can hear my heart. You love me, right? So what I'm saying is not to be responsible. I'm responsible for my own emotions. But when you see that kind of thing come out, then instead of getting mad because I kind of got upset about something, maybe think of it from a different perspective and say, you know what, she must be going through something because she don't really act like that all the time. So, you know, but Zany, go ahead, baby.
Ain't gonna be, not want to deal with somebody else's emotion is an emotion too, because I don't want that. But let me show you this. The Bible said, the Bible says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works.
Come on.
Provoke unto love.
Let us consider one another.
Which means what? When I provoke you, you think I'm going to get a good emotion out you? Absolutely not. I'm provoking you. Which is, in the other terms, what you just said, trigger, we shouldn't trigger each other. That's triggering me.
But sometimes you don't know that you're triggering that person because you don't know what their background is about.
But that's what I'm saying. So if you provoking me unto love and good works, that means you about to get out the ugly out of me. because you're provoking me unto love and good work.
Yeah, I got you. I feel you. But a lot of times, I've seen situations where because you had this emotion before you even came into this situation, so you were provoked for something that reminded you of something that made you upset.
Right.
So it's not always.
We all go through that.
So it's not. So that's what I'm saying. So why would I have to deal with something that you didn't do the work to do on your own?
Let me give you a picture, Zane. I got you. Let me give you a picture. There's a cup of water on the counter. It's real crystal clear, and it looks so nice and delicious. But at the bottom of that water, the debris and stuff that comes out of the air has settled to the bottom, and you don't even know it's there, not just by looking at it. But God blesses me with a husband that comes along every now and then. He stirs me up. God allowed that stirring to happen, and what better person than the person that loves me, so that I can see that all that stuff that I thought I had dealt with, that I thought that I had, that was under wraps, that I put in the back of my mind, all that stuff is still there, but it was settled when it was just me. I thought I was good. But when you came along and you stirred some of that stuff up, you triggered me, not even realizing that certain things you did was going to trigger me. It makes the debris come to the top.
That's right.
I would never know it's there had you not triggered me. So therefore, that debris is there. What better person to help deal with the pain that was just stirred up than the person that God used? Now, I love you for being used to stir that up, to show me it's still there. God will never be able to help me get rid of it if I never knew it was still there.
That's right.
So my husband comes into my life. Now we won, because at first I was single and I thought I was good. Now my husband comes in, and little things that he do is like it triggered me. Why is it triggering me?
Uh-huh.
Because he's stirring some stuff up in me I thought was no longer of an issue. And it is. So therefore, if he is the one that God used to trigger me, then he has to be the one that God can still use to go to God on my behalf to help say, God, how do I help her with that? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Listen, y'all, we got to go. Let me just read. I'm sorry. No, but yeah.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Men have been told, a lot of said, men have been told that they are weak if they show emotions, and it's only being vulnerable in a situation and having an honest conversation. That's true, Aunt Liza. She said, women have been told to put your big girl underwear on and don't be emotional. Women been told that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Patricia says, remember, everything that feel good to you is not good for you.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
Trust that.
Aunt Liza says again, people have been emotionally programmed. Yes.
And we magnify emotions, and anything you put under a magnifying glass gets bigger. We got to take the magnifying glass off of some of this stuff that the culture has magnified for us, and we believe it.
Amen. Listen, y'all, we want you to like, share this content, man. I promise you, we went off the cuff today, but always, this is Shift Real Talk. We always flow.
We be keeping it funky, honey.
We be keeping it funky, and we always flow. But listen, y'all, that is definitely our time. Please, y'all, like and share, subscribe to the channel, y'all. Join the nations. Join the Shift Talk, Real Talk Nation. Y'all, listen, man, we are going places, man. We love you guys. I'm your boy, Pastor Jay.
And I'm your girl, Lady Free.
And I'm Zany Young.
Until next time. Peace.
Thanks for watching.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.